In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. The prophet Isaiah, in his writing, takes time to give the people the good news. He's not like some of the other prophets who just jump right in telling the people all the great things that God is going to do for them. Isaiah starts off slowly. In chapter 1 of the book of Isaiah, the prophet begins by talking about how the Lord has seen the people and the Lord has heard the people, but the Lord is not happy with the people because they've been rebellious. The people have been created to do great things by God, but they have not done great things. They have been corrupt, and their land lies in ruin, and their country is desolate. And despite that they are offering sacrifices, God does not care for their sacrifices. And despite that they are making prayers, God does not care for their prayers. They are in this situation where they can do nothing. And the Lord has laid his anger upon the people, and the people, in their response, have tried to please God, but they can do nothing, and their land is in ruins. And they have been cast down, and they are desolate. Does that sound like the good beginning for good news, to be desolate? Well, it is the good beginning. Because if you're going to hope to change your life, if you're going to hope to amend your ways, if you come to church on a Sunday hoping to have a spiritual transformation or some growth, you don't begin at the top. You've got to begin at the bottom. Many years ago, there was a gentleman who came to visit me who was working the 12 steps in his life. And he came to see me after making an inventory, and he wanted to share with another human being all the things that he had done, the good and the bad. And so he made an appointment, and we sat and we talked. And his life story was really interesting. He began working at a big financial institution downtown Boston at the top of his game, making tons of money, powerful, impressionable. And then one day he tried cocaine, and he said he loved cocaine. So he started this process of being addicted and spiraling down, as one does when one is in the midst of addiction. And he headed down and down, and I always think about this. He told me that of all the bills, you only really need to pay your phone bill so you can contact your dealer. And I think about that sometimes. I don't know why, when I'm paying my bills, that runs through my head. So he started off at the top, and then little by little he lost his friends, he lost contact with his family, he lost his job, he had no money, and he just had the phone bill that he was paying until that too disappeared. And he found himself at the bottom with no place else to go. And he told me this was an incredible moment. It was life-changing for him to know that he was utterly helpless, and that he was in the face of a challenge that was too great for him, so he gave up. Before that, he labored under the illusion that he could control things in life. Before that, he tried to present to the world the wonderful face that everything was just perfect, as we sometimes do. Before that, he was mighty and powerful, but as he hit rock bottom, he realized that he had no power. And that with a little sliver of effort, with a little sliver of power he had left, he turned his life over to God. And he came to me, and we prayed. What a way to begin your spiritual journey there at the bottom. What a way for Isaiah to begin chapter 1, there with the people in desolation and ruin. And what a way for us to begin this church year here in Advent 1, not at the top. Not at the top. Last Sunday, if you remember, last Sunday, Christ the King Sunday, we were at the top. Weren't we? We had a king, Jesus Christ, who was reigning supreme over everything. We were in God's hands. We were in God's eyes. Everything was good, and God was doing all that we wanted. And then this week, let's just forget about all that, Advent 1 says. Let's forget that we live in a wealthy country. Let's forget that we have houses and cars and possessions and whatever titles we've been granted, and whatever achievements we've had. We're just going to forget all of that, because Advent 1 begs us to be there with the people in chapter 1 of Isaiah in desolation and ruin. And Advent 1 begs us to be with people who have hit rock bottom in their lives and have just given up and said, I have no power at all. And Advent 1 begs us to be everywhere with people who are lost or who have stumbled, who have fallen, who are in the moment of taking their first steps. This is Advent 1. You're taking your first steps. You're getting one foot under you and then the other, and you dust yourself off and you look around and you say to yourself, well, now what? It's an amazing thing to say. Well, now what? I didn't know. We have to admit, I thought I knew. I had plans. I've got plans going until this Christmas and then into 2020 to 2021 and 2 and 3. And suddenly I don't have those plans anymore. I've got the desires of my heart. I've got everything laid out. And then suddenly you find yourself with none of those things to count on in a place where you're just looking around and you're saying, well, now what? I've got a bad diagnosis from the doctor. Now what? My relationship just exploded. We're on the rocks. Well, now what? The market has crashed. I've lost my job. I have no money to pay my bills. Well, now what? It wakes you up a little. It's like that phone call at 3 in the morning. It's good news or bad, whatever it is, you're going to wake up. And I've had those 3 o'clock phone calls. I just can't get back to sleep sometimes. And now is the time for you to wake. Both Jesus and Paul say today. Maybe the next time I wake up at 3 in the morning, I'll just say to myself, you know, Paul said that this is a holy time to wake up because I've been asleep. Because we've been asleep. How long have we been asleep? Once in my life, I can remember driving across the country, probably in Nebraska, in the middle of the night, and for about 3 seconds, my chin hit my chest and I fell asleep. Don't tell my mom that story, by the way. And I woke myself up and I said, well, how long have I been asleep? What a shocking thing. What an amazing thing to wake up from sleep and to move. It's the thing that we need to do to move, to get us closer to God. Sometimes it happens gently and easily, like the tap of a loved one on your shoulder that says, honey, and they whisper in your ear, honey, it's time to wake up. But I've tried that with my teenagers, and that doesn't work so well. Honey, it's time to wake up. You get no response at all. And so it takes something bigger sometimes to wake us up, because perhaps we're truly asleep, or maybe we're truly in denial, or maybe we're truly out of touch with our spiritual life, or we're truly rebellious like the people in Isaiah, and then we have to hit rock bottom. We have to crash and burn. We have to wipe out, and we end up with nothing. So before we get to that point, Advent 1 comes to us and reminds us that we already have nothing, that we were born with nothing, and that we'll die with nothing. And so we have no power in ourselves to help ourselves or strength to fight what is to come. So let's just give up. Let's give up and we'll turn to God. Let's light a candle. Let's believe that there is going to be in about 4 weeks a Messiah who's coming our way, whose promised arrival will bring us everything. Because if Isaiah chapter 1 is about having nothing, then Isaiah chapter 2 is about having everything. If the first chapter in your life is about hitting rock bottom and the bad things that have happened to you, then chapter 2 is about finding God, that mountain. For God has put out there a mountain. And it's not just a little hill like a blip on the horizon, but it is the highest of all mountains. It is a peak that towers above your anxieties and towers above your worries and towers above your fears and above the challenges that we face in this world to have good things happen. And it is a mountain to which the nation shall stream and the people will come, and its existence promises peace, that there is something bigger and greater and stronger than we are to which we can ascend, which we do not have in ourselves, a divine force which has come to bless and change the world around us, and this is Christ, the Messiah. And as long as we know there's a mountain out there which has been promised to us, we can look at the beginning of chapter 1 of our life, and then we can look around and say, well, now what? And as long as we know there's a mountain, the answer is always going to be, well, we go to the mountain. For what else is there to do in life? Where else would I go except to that mountain? Once you see and you're aware of the presence of Jesus Christ and the love of God and the blessing of God And the promise of God for ourselves and for the world in its pain, there's nothing on the horizon except that mountain. So welcome to Advent. Let's keep that mountain before us. Week by week, let's walk to it. Prayer by prayer, let's ascend to it. Let's go on our knees if we need to. Let's head in the direction of Christmas every single moment from this moment on. And let's know that it's always going to be there, towering above everything else in our life, and it'll never disappear. And all we need to do is to move forward in faith and from time to time, just give up. That's it. I give up. And I invite you to join me. Amen.